Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
What is happening, Toronto Blue Jays fans? I am Craig Borden, your host of the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. As with me this evening, my co-host, Jason Lyons, who's a little fuzzy with his internet connection at the moment, but he's still looking good.
Is it going or not? Am I good?
It's going. You're good. Yeah, you're okay, good. It's just, like I said, it's a little blocky, but you're still here. Audio is all that's important.
I've noticed as of late, I don't know what it is, but it seems like the internet connection around here is just not doing as swell as it normally does. So maybe it's Rogers and all the upgrades they've done at the stadium. They've had to make cuts on their fiber optic, but can we start off by talking about the 49ers for a minute, like just 1 minute?
If you want to gush about the 49ers, I just hope right now I'm a 49ers fan for you and my buddy Brendan Panikkar, because I don't want the Chiefs to win on any level. That's all I'm going to say.
No. Nope, I don't. So, and I mean, it's, you know, I do appreciate this, though, for everybody who's given, you know, all of this Taylor Swift thing a bunch of, you know, I will say this. They say that the potential is that it could up the game by, you know, by 200 to 400,000 potential viewers. Whether you want them or not, it's good for the game. It's good for all sports. The big thing, especially, is if you get other sports figures there. Like, I mean, having Hunter Pence and Brandon Crawford at the Niners game and being highlighted, had you never known who they were, then you're like, oh, who are they? And then you look. So, you know, all eyes are good eyes, I feel like. You know, it's going to be a slugfest. The Chiefs are proving that they're a much better team than we thought they were going to be. I'm just waiting for the full complement of the Niners to come in, and when they do, they should steamroll. But, you know, I'm going to, as I did very tenderly on Sunday, I'm just going to nicely sit there quietly, trying not to explode, and, you know, bang, bang.
Bang. So as far as other bang, bang, it's been quiet on the Toronto Blue Jays front for how many weeks now, Jason? I feel like we've been really spinning our wheels.
Yeah, too many.
What could happen? What if? Hurry up and throw up bold spring training predictions this early, right? So all of a sudden in the last 24 hours, there's actually some Blue Jays things that are in Blue Jays culture and obviously with this team that we actually get to talk about. And the first one was, I cannot say I was floored anymore by this one, other than the fact that I didn't see it coming more than anything. And this is the fact that I know I told you before the show, but I'm just going to play dumb here, so join me. Did you happen to see who is on the cover of MLB The Show this year?
I didn't. And it's one of those things, as soon as you mentioned it to me and you didn't tell me, I automatically brought up, is it a good thing or a bad thing based on the Madden curse? Because it hasn't really happened in hockey. Whoever's been on the hockey cover has actually done quite well. And their teams have too. So, what do you want, a drum roll? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could guess. Yeah. I assume it's a J.
Well, Yeah, so, but there's the other catch on the whole thing. If you were going to pick a baseball player right now that could have been on MLB The Show, I wouldn't have guessed this at all. I would have assumed it's somebody like Julio Rodriguez, Shohei Ohtani again, whoever, right? But I'm kind of shocked, and that's not going to play dumb anymore. Here it is. You have Vlad Jr. on the MLB The Show 24 cover, and this isn't just a Canada cover like we've gotten over the last few years. It is 100% the everyday cover for Major League Baseball The Show this year.
It's good for Vladdy. I mean, I think we touched on it last week. I mean, we're talking about a guy who they're talking about being potentially the fourth or fifth best hitter in the league this year. And I mean, if that is the case, then, you know, then this kind of thing stands up. I mean, he did win the HRD last year, and, you know, he is potentially a really violent hitter. You know, I feel like some guys figured him out this year, but what all good hitters do is if they come back with success, which most guys who can hit do, they've then started to figure out what that patterning is for those pitchers. And they're starting to see, you know, okay, if I'm striking out on changeups or I'm striking out on balls that are spinning out of the zone, which seems to be his biggest problem right now, is I'm just going to work on that. Like I'm solely going to work on hitting the ones that are in the zone out of the park, and the ones that are tumbling, hitting him hard the other way or hard, you know, over the second baseman's head and into a gap or just short, and not trying to get to second base when I do that, but taking my singles and, you know, racking up a pretty good batting average this year. So, congratulations, Vladdy.
To that point, maybe it's some extra confidence going into the year. You know, I know it's silly, but at the end of the day, that's what it is, right? You're getting some kind of level of recognition. And I'm hoping that this at least contraries the fact that he is going for an arbitration hearing in the next day or so here. And we have no idea where that conversation is going to go, with the team saying his flaws and why he should only make this much money versus him saying, I'm this good and I should make this money.
Yeah.
I know this is a periphery thing, but that's helpful in a certain fashion.
For sure. For sure. I mean, you know, where Vladdy goes this year, I feel like the Jays go a lot. You know, he is a major cog in this wheel. You know, I've read a lot this week on people griping about the Jays not doing anything, the Jays not, you know, not going out, not getting into the market. And then I was interested, some of our buddies like Eric, Trudeau and a few others were asking, well, they didn't get worse, right? Like, I mean, they haven't lost major pieces to make them worse. So, I mean, and now they're talking about the potential of Chapman being a discussion piece, you know, then they're kind of the same. And if they are kind of the same and they add a few more bats, which I'll just lead you down that primrose path. But you know, maybe if they made it to the, you know, the wild card this year, maybe it's the, you know, second round of the playoffs this year, or it's the ALDS this year, or maybe it's the World Series this year. It's all stepping stones moving forward,
better be the World regardless Series.
If they make a huge splash. Yeah. You know, like, nobody that they're fighting against right now has done any major, you know, anything major. Like, it seems to me like the teams that are making major moves are in the National League, and they're all in California. Nobody else seems to be doing anything.
And name the Dodgers.
I mean, Dodgers and Giants, right? Like, I mean, they're the only two teams that seem to be making any significant moves. The Yankees are trying to do something. I'm not 100% sure. Now, I did hear a ridiculous rumor. What's that?
And that's, they made the Juan Soto splash, and then it really.
Yeah, Juan Soto. Yeah. And he could flame out very easily. Like, he's the kind of guy that New York may not agree with. I feel like Juan needs the laid back lifestyle. He needs he needs to be able to walk to the ballpark without, you know, reporters hurling insults at him. And when he goes on an 0-15 or 0-16, you know, that right field in the Bronx or left field can be pretty rough, right? Like, I mean, they're not going to be nice to him once he starts crapping the bed, excuse my French. But, you know, I think it is what it is. And you know, Juan's going to have, if Juan has even a mediocre year, they're going to eat him alive. And so that's the juxtaposition of going to a place like New York. Whereas if Shohei has an okay year, the city of LA won't turn on him. I still think their expectation is 2 years down the road when he pitches and hits. So, I mean, and then we can talk about the Jays' big move.
Want to show one silly thing first before we go on to that, because that was a big move. I think that it's going to be an unsung for the Blue Jays season.
Love silly stuff.
So Vladdy on the cover is just one more feature that now him and his dad get to share, because his dad was the MLB cover athlete for MLB The Show 2006.
So fantastic.
Very cool. I thought that's another weird thing. That's the first father-son duo, let alone, obviously, more Vlad Jr. Sr. But I just think that's funny because that was just to put this in perspective, that was PlayStation 2. It was the first ever Major League Baseball game to have online play. So I'm just reading it. Some of this stuff that came up when I Googled it and, them having the article to go with the fact that he did. There is a very cool documentary with him and his dad on there. I wish I got to watch more of it, but I was only able to watch the first 5 minutes of 35 minutes of them talking about how he got the athlete and about, all that kind of stuff about making the cover. So it was really cool to see with the two of them. I'd highly recommend, diving further into it. So do you want to lead with us the rest of the new news?
Well, hold on. I was going to say one thing in between. So we were just talking about Vladdy and his dad, and I just want to pivot quickly back to something that you don't see very often, and it happens to have my 49ers involved with it. So I don't know if you know this or not, but if Christian McCaffrey and Shanahan have the opportunity to do what their fathers did a number of years ago. So Christian McCaffrey's dad, when he played for the Broncos, and Mike Shanahan's dad, when he coached the Broncos, won the Super Bowl together. So this would be the first son team to win the Super Bowl if they do it, which would be pretty cool. Anyways, I digress. The big news, and there you go. The big news is, I mean, everybody's probably seen it by now, is now we lead the league in red beards. Justin Turner has joined the fold of the Toronto Blue Jays. And he'll lead in back level pine tar. Like, I don't know how he gets it on there so perfect. And hilariously, we were at Dodger Stadium a number of years ago, and they actually sell Turner jerseys with the mark on the back where he puts his bat. It's hilarious. Anyways, so a lot of people, I don't buy into what people say on Twitter or online or anything. Like, there's a few people I really listen to, Jay's Journal, and I'll be okay with Sportsnet every now and again. But I think the big thing for this, the narrative is that, Jay's fans don't think that they went out and got Justin Turner to be any kind of savior. They got Justin Turner basically to replace Brandon Belt. Turner played a bunch of first base last year where he actually was quite good. He doesn't quite have the reactions or the cannon anymore to play third. But I mean, in a pinch, if you were getting pumped or you were pumping another team and you just wanted to keep his bat in the lineup, you could easily have him play third base. He's got the skill to do it. Fine. No worries. So he's backing up Vladdy at one, which kind of hurts because I think that takes away the opportunity for them to pick up Votto, which kind of stinks, but I almost would rather have JT at this point. JT has been a great hitter for a long time, and he may not be putting up those massive numbers anymore. But I mean, last year he hit .276 with 23 homers, 96 RBIs. Like, he even stole four bases. Brandon Belt is not
to clarify your
Brandon Belt,
Turner, not Votto.
Yeah, Justin Turner, not Votto. Sorry, Justin Turner, for a guy his age, can still ball, and I think that, like you said, this is a sneaky good deal.
2 years ago,
I know that. I think you're right. This is a sneaky good deal that during the season this year in the dog days, which I like to say, Justin Turner will be an asset. Yeah, it's a good deal.
Yeah. And actually, he actually DH'd the most for the Red Sox last year. 98 games at DH. He did 7 at third base. He had 10 at second. I don't remember that. and then 41 at first. To the Dodgers, he never played first base.
No, never. He did play a little bit of second.
So you go back to 2016, and it was one game in 2016. But last year, the Red Sox didn't need him to play third base. They needed him to play, you know, like you said, first, really, at the end of the day, in DH. But there is enough there that spells insurance policy for where we were talking a few moments before the show started, that you don't pay Matt Chapman. You don't have full confidence in Aroldis Martinez or Addison Barger. There is a very nice safety net here that at a minimum, you're getting a bat that could hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
If he plays some third base in 40, 60 games, who cares?
he's played well when he's played at Rogers. He's hit well at Rogers. It seems to be a building that he likes to play in, which is, I feel like, is starting to be something that they do certainly take into account. You know, like, that's the Kevin Kiermaier theory. He always played well there, and he has continued to play well there. I think with this signing, I mean, certainly, you know, there's only a few bats left that are out there. But I do find it interesting, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but I guess the American League East is now feeling a lot of pressure to start making some moves. So there's all this talk about, like, the Red Sox and the Yankees and not Tampa, but, you know, other teams considering throwing, as we like to say, backing a truck of money or a brick of money at Blake Snell. You know, the Yankees apparently have made an offer, which he has turned down. And it's a big one. So, I mean, I think he's willing to go there, but it is going to cost them a ridiculous amount of money to get him. And, you know, so it should. You know, like some of these guys.
Cy Young winner.
He's a stud. I don't know why we I think we both have been in agreement on the fact that Blake Snell is a stud. And, you know, it's interesting because I thought right after we ended our cast last week, there was like three moves, like right away. Like, I can't remember what they were. They were all sort of no namey, middle of the road. But I was like, oh, here we go. That's the linchpin. We're going to see a whole bunch of nothing. So, like, it's
the one that would nice actually help Turner the same go. Argument nice. Was Polanco from the Twins getting traded. That was the one that I was Mariners, surprised right? that Blue Jays might not have been. Yep. So
yeah, and
it was a very funny because move to this.
The Mariners gave up a lot. Like, I mean, he's okay. He's a good baseball player.
Not that good.
Five guys, wasn't it?
It was like four. Yeah,
guys that have played up. Yeah, like that seems
and then,
like
I'd say three throw-ins at that point.
Yes,
prospects only, right?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think he moves the needle. For them too much. I mean, what does he play? Third? Short? Second?
Third and short. It's,
I mean, what are you going to do?
Honestly, for Suarez, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I would think he plays at third in Mariners.
Yeah.
Regardless, I don't know. We look at Justin Turner, and right now, just to throw this out here, if the Blue Jays just paid $13 million for one season, his projections, according to Baseball Reference right now, are very eerily similar to last year, and they were even admitting they're being very conservative. They said there's only an 80% reliance on these numbers, which is saying that they're assuming he's going to regress. That's why they put these numbers up, right? So he still batting 266, plays in, I lost how many games? Either way, 560 play appearances, got to be 130, 140 games. 28 doubles, 19 home runs, 81 RBIs. That's sorely needed in what we did last season, Jason. And then the other number that I've heard nobody talking about this whole thing is how well Justin Turner performs in the clutch and in the postseason. And those are two things that the Blue Jays need.
His postseason numbers are jackassery. They're like him and Max Muncy are two of the the greatest playoff performers I've ever seen. I mean, they're up there with some of the greatest who have ever played. And, you know, for anybody's wondering, just and, you know, this. And I'm sure that this
86
is
86 games in the postseason he's played.
Yeah.
86 postseason game.
Yeah, I know. It's and he's been, he was dominant. Like whenever the Dodgers needed a hit, he got it. Whenever they needed a play, he made it. And, you know, it's you know, it's one of those things where he, and it's interesting because, you know, one of the comparisons I saw today and one of the sort of people that were angry about this was somebody comparing him to Brandon Belt and why would we pay so much for him? Well, Brandon Belt had 19 homers, hit 254. I mean, you're looking at an upgrade from Belt, and he's a little younger, he's a little more athletic, he's a little more everything. And, you know, like Antero 78 says here, you know, he is dead right. He hits really well against lefties. And, you know, the amount of solid left-handed pitching. There you go, buddy. The amount of solid left-handed pitching that the Jays are going to face this year, I mean, it's a really good pickup. And not just because I have his ball.
At your point, one of those teams we were just talking about outside the Blue Jays lands Blake Snell. You need somebody to hit Blake Snell. And guess what? He's been facing Blake Snell for how many years now while he was in LA and Snell was in the San Diego?
Yeah, I know.
Perfect. I'm actually wondering what his career stats look like against him, right?
Against who, Blake Snell?
Oh. Yeah. Now, I mean, Turner, I think the biggest 50, 60 times.
Well, you would think, yeah. Well, especially the last year he was in LA, he wouldn't have faced him that much last year. But the last season or last two seasons, I think Snell was there for both of those. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he sort of fares against some of the big guys we've got over here now on this side, like the Garrett Coles and those guys.
We should have saw some of him too.
Yeah,
playoffs even. Playoffs.
Again, I think it's a good move. I think it's one of those things where, you know, where the Jays needed to do something finally. And I think they probably saw this as a really good middle of the line. You know, they're not setting the world on fire by picking up Brandon Belt 2.0. But from everything that I've seen, you know, Justin Turner has a couple of really great charities that he supports. And I know when he was in LA, he was a wildly popular player. And his teammates love him. Even when he was in Boston for that short time, it was one of those things that people were commonly talking about, was what a great guy he was.
Yeah. And to that point, I think there's some unsung hero part there for the Blue Jays too, because they needed somebody that, I hate using this reference, but it did work. Think when Josh Donaldson came in, the guys we let go, and then you brought in the put up or shut up types with him, Tulo, over the season, David Price, and what that turned into at the end of 2015, right? I'm not saying we were missing those people in this dugout right now, but it is a different leadership voice and at least bringing you what Brandon Belt brought in, right? I think there is a level of professionalism that Brandon Belt has that Justin Turner equally has, and then some with those teams he played on with the Dodgers.
For sure. He's got so much experience. He's been in both sides of the league. He's been in every level of the playoffs. He's won the World Series. Like there's not much he hasn't done in professional baseball. And so to bring a guy in like that, where in any situation, you know, somebody like Bichette or, you know, even somebody younger can turn to him and say, hey, what was this? You know, like it's bottom of the ninth, you know, one out, one on, you're facing, you know, just a deadly assassin on the mound, you know, what did you do to beat this guy? Oh, you know, it's nice to have that sage piece of wisdom to be able to say, you know, and I don't know if you've ever noticed, but Justin Turner is a very intimidating dude when he comes to the dish. He's stoic and he looks angry. And I mean, especially when he had the long hair was even better.
I'm going to give you a comp here, and I know he's not this player, but as far as a comp for personality and presence at the plate, he always reminded me of George Brett walking up to the plate. Yeah. I don't know what it is about it. It's just that, I know I can beat you. He has that when he walks up to the plate, and I'm not just saying that because he has the monstrous red beard, and I'm jealous. So there's that. But I think there's something to that, to that point, that even that level of intensity could rub off on some of the guys around him. And as much as I love Brandon Belt, and I have always loved Brandon Belt, and I've said since the day he was a rookie, when I drafted him in one of my fantasy baseball leagues as the random draft pick that you can keep for a minor league guy, I'm like, he's got a home run baseball name. I'm taking Brandon Belt. Right. Yeah. So I've loved Brandon Belt for a long time. Right now, to me, if you have those two on paper right next to each other, I would rather overpay to get what I'm getting out of Justin Turner, and then rather than settling on Brandon Belt right now. If we're talking 3 weeks,
or somebody crappier,
spring training doors open and I still needed somebody, I'm going after Brandon Belt if Justin Turner was taken.
No insult to a guy like Pilar or somebody like that who's out there and still available. I mean, that's where you're going to end up. You're going to end up spending 10 on a guy like him, on a Josh Donaldson and there's 100 of those guys around the league. I'm just naming off guys that we talked about last week. Like, to pick up, a guy of Turner's ilk and Turner's, pedigree. And I mean, what's overpaying in this day and age?
It's 1 year. What's the difference between winning or not? Yeah. Who cares?
Then it's nothing. I mean, you make that back in Justin Turner jerseys, or maybe you can get some of the Otani ones that they pre-made. Yeah. Your playoff, one playoff game, you earn it back. I think we're going to start to see a few more. What are we, just a month and a half away from spring training. Yeah. Pitchers and catchers in 40 days.
Red Wings were saying here in town that the minor league games start in like 30 something days. So it's like 25 and or so here that we report for pitchers and catchers. So it's, like I said, we're within the month of having spring training baseball games.
People, and I mean, you know
that. And that's why tonight is the other flip is talk bold predictions.
I don't know. I mean, I think the shoe's going to drop on some of these guys, but again, I feel like a guy like Cody Bellinger's asking for too much money. I think that's the problem with a lot of these guys. I'm a little surprised that a guy like Montgomery hasn't signed yet. He may be asking for too much money, but there's something weird about that.
That the Orioles are sniffing around.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, he'd be a good fit. He would be a good fit there. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and to that point, I'm sitting here going, seeing who we lost out on and saying, why aren't we after Jordan Montgomery? But I think that right now, I think the Blue Jays think they're comfortable pitching-wise, because at the higher end, you now have Yerod as Yariel Rodriguez, that we've now coined him Yerod here on the show. We got whatever the revenge story of Alek Manoah is going to be. And then you have the now top pitching prospect in baseball, Ricky Tiedemann. Teetering on the edge.
Teetering on the edge. Yeah.
Correct. So right now you have three starters that are going to come to spring training, and it's going to be the Thunderdome, man. They're just going to beat the shit out of each other for that job. And only one of them can walk out with it.
I don't know how much, I don't know how much spring training you get down there in Buffalo, but I think they were just talking about on sports that they're going to have more games than ever, and they're going to have more than this than ever, more coverage than ever. And I think you're dead right. I think Manoah and Tiedemann put this sort of weird, outsiders vibe onto this now, because you've got like the young.
Who knows what's going to show up?
Well, and if Manoah's jailhouse workout is anything like what we're actually going to see, and if he actually has his head even mediocrely put on straight. I mean, there's going to be no joke about the revenge tour. Like, he is going to want to shut everyone up, including most Blue Jays fans, media, brass, and he's going to want out at some point. And if he can explode this season and come out of the gate and just rip, then what is his value? Let's just for 1 minute think about his value if he comes out of the gate red hot and everyone's like, what was wrong? I just had to go away and get my head straight. I just had to do this. And now he's back and he's a flamethrower. What's that? And the yips. Yeah. I was, what was the golfer that took like 10 years off and came back and then won? Like, I mean, it happens. John Casey, wasn't it?
Daly. And then just even look at that. Chuck Knoblauch couldn't throw the ball to second base for the Yankees for how many years?
Yeah, so, I know.
But to that point, and I coined Eric Rosenheck, our regular on this show, for the aptly naming what he's hoping is the revenge tour. I love that term. I'm so glad he thought of it. I'm happy to make sure I send his praise to that, because I really – he's pissed. He's angry. He's hungry. And we already knew he was a driven individual before that. So I'm honestly looking very forward to his first spring training start, because I'm expecting him to have done the work. I really think he would have. He doesn't strike me as that kind of person, regardless of what weird thing happened last year and how it happened. I don't even give a shit whose fault it is anymore. Come in ready to spring and just deal. And then you'll be able to do whatever you want in a Blue Jays uniform and get the deal you want. Or you now have the Blue Jays are happy to trade you and get what your value is actually worth.
And you'll get to go one of the other life. Yeah, it'll be one or the other. He's either going to be wildly appreciative that the fans stuck with him and that people stuck with him, because they didn't really turn on him. And when he came back for that one game, they were going nuts. It's all they were talking about. They wanted him to win. They wanted him to do well. Right. And so it's either going to go one way or the other. And I mean, I hope, honestly, I hope for his sake, I hope that he comes right out of the gate like a bull. And then we get 2 months into the season and we can make a decision. Jays can make a decision. Like, you're either going to be a hero here for the year. One of the, like, he would go down if he could take the Jays, if the Jays could get into the playoffs and have a run with the Manoa comeback tour. I mean, it would be he'd be up there with Joe Carter and others. Like,
correct.
Oh, and we just had one come in, Craig, from TEB Photography, best pictures in the business. Kevin Pillar was not cut from the Atlanta Braves. Kevin Pillar is a unrestricted free agent. He was not re-signed by the Braves. He had a 1-year deal. And I mean, he's the kind of guy that may show up somewhere. He seems to be a very serviceable dude, and he'll probably end up on a team that has money that we're going to do something with, similar to Justin Turner.
Fourth outfielder.
As a fourth outfielder, as a guy who can get on base, he can probably still steal you a base or two at, you know, he's in his early 30s.
Solid defense is what a fourth outfielder is usually known for. And you know what you're getting for Kevin Pillar, a.k.a. Superman from Blue Jay fandom in the 2015-16 era. Yeah. Do you want me to throw out my first bold prediction in 2015-16 a la fun here?
Yes, I do.
I don't think Josh Donaldson signs with anybody.
Do you think he goes and plays in Japan?
I think he will not be a major leaguer, or is somebody's going to only throw him a flyer on a minor league contract. I really, really am getting a weird vibe. This is not me basing it on anything. It's a gut feeling. And it's mostly,
now, what do you think about this?
If anybody hasn't read into it, it's the fiasco with him and Roddy Tellez at the end of Milwaukee season last year. That is the story with Donaldson. Unfortunately, that is known throughout Major League Baseball. And do they want that on their team right now?
Nice guy
at
dickhead.
His age.
Nice guy versus dickhead.
Yeah,
you know, like, I mean, I
loved him with 2015. It was the exact kick in the ass. but different
for
now.
A guy who's really, he's not the, like, Josh Donaldson. Let's be honest. Josh Donaldson hasn't done much, right? He's never won a World Series, has he? No, and I mean, he's a good baseball player. I got to give him. He was drafted as a catcher, brought up as a catcher, turned into a third baseman, stud. So I'll give you that, Josh. But we got to a point with Josh Donaldson where the ego was so big that it could barely take the left end of the dugout to hold him within it. And then he goes other places and they're like, whoa, 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 weren't you great in Toronto? And how are you such garbo now? And then he was like, you know, like, it's if you cannot accept the fact that as you get older, look at Joey Votto. Joey Votto is growing older like a really nice red wine. Like, you always want to have him around. You know, you can give him to a friend in a pinch. Like, I mean, he's a great dude. And he is a cocky guy, but he's cocky in a much different way. And he always, like, if he, you know, if he faked a ball to a fan or if he did anything for the show of it, he always made up for it by going back and signing a batter's glove and giving it to the fan or the kid or whatever, because he was like that. But Donaldson was never like that, as far as, like, I know people that have met him at Jays games and after Jays games, and he just wasn't a very nice guy. So it's one of those things where, I mean, you know, it's tough.
This isn't the Edwin Encarnacion getting another shot. This isn't the Jose Bautista getting another shot.
No.
If I'm Josh Donaldson, I know I'm not. I wouldn't think I'm going to get that crazy contract. I think it looks something not even like Justin Turner here. I think he's scraping the barrel with.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A $10 million deal as a high, and I don't think he'll take that. I really just don't think it's going to happen for him. As much as I'd love to see him DH somewhere, I don't see it lining up with any teams with the current mantra, unless he gets a job with like the Reds or something. And I don't think they're going to take a chance on an old guy. They're going to look for their young flyers to run in because they still have an insane amount of young prospects.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't, if you look around the league at some of the teams that are a little bit have naughty, like the Pittsburgh Pirates or, you know, Milwaukee. I mean, you know, but Milwaukee tried it with him and they couldn't even make it work. So, I mean, where does he go?
They ended up trading him. Brutal.
Do you want my first big, and hopefully we can go back at some point, you know, like, so I'm going to make a prediction at the halfway point of the season. So let's call it the All-Star break. The player that is leading the major leagues in home runs will be Vladdy Guerrero Jr. He will be the home run leader.
There's a lot of baseball people that would agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Did you see what his projections look like?
Well, you know what, Craig? I like to think that I do know the game pretty well. I've often thought to myself, even last year, I couldn't quite put my finger on what was wrong with Vladdy. I couldn't tell if he was just tired. I couldn't tell if he was just complacent. I couldn't tell if he was really struggling because he never really wore any of it until the very end of the year. And then he started wearing it. Then he was like, shit, I can't hit anything that's tumbling out of the strike zone. I can't hit anything that's doing this. And the pitchers know it now. It was the Serrano. He was Serrano. The dish that you throw it in the zone, he's going to mash it. You throw it around it, he's going to strike out. And so what I think, and you know, I've been watching a lot in the offseason, even though there hasn't been a lot going on. And one of the things that they showed from Vladdy down in the DR was that was one of the main things they were working on. They brought off-speed junk pitchers, big curves, big cutters, and that's what he's working on. And if you watch that video where he's hitting the balls out of the stadium, the two that he hits are not fastballs. They're massive cutting balls across the plate that he's waiting on. And it's similar to like when Bichette had to train himself to change from the single toe tap to a different stance to start hitting off speed pitches. And it's ironic that Justin Turner would be becoming a Blue Jay because he's the first guy that really made that extended toe tap when he saw a different pitch coming. He would actually change the taps that he had at the plate and adjust to that swing. And I mean, it's what changed a whole bunch of, I mean, it changed Bo, it changed Acuna, it changed all Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge talks about it in a couple of videos where it changed for Turner and guys like Bichette started using it. And guys like Judge said, I got to start using this because I can't hit the ball out every single time. So when I do hit it inside the park, I want to hit it with somebody. I don't have to try and run to second. I can walk there. Right. So,
yeah,
you know, it's ironic. It's a circle of life.
Yep, and I think you bring up a good point, because in those videos you can notice that he's tweaked just enough little things that it looks like he's loading up and getting to the ball right. So I agree with you that I think we're going to get the Vladdy Vicious return tour. I really think that's the other one we're going to get. I think American hitters should be worried for this season, because the other, here's the other ulterior motive. I think the Blue Jays are unfortunately going to call him out during this arbitration hearing, and he ain't going to like it. So if he wants to hit the free agent market, he's going to see that as even more motivation to either ask the Blue Jays for a shit ton of money.
He's okay with criticism. He's experienced it before. Like when they were moving him, they were moving him from third to first. He was taking a lot of heat for his defense at three and at one. And he openly said, he's like, guys, I'm trying to get better here. They're moving me to a different position. I'm still trying to hit homers on runs at the dish. I got a million things going on in my bean. Yep. Just, you know, bear with me. And I feel like he's going to go into the arbitration confidently, but I feel like Vladdy's the kind of guy that when they say to him, you know, Vladdy, you're supposed to be the best hitter in baseball and you hit like shit, you know,
you preach while I pour another beer.
Oh, there you go. Sam Adams. I love those new Sam Adams commercials, by the way.
I had a stash of Oktoberfest still. I don't know how that happened.
My cousin from Boston, right? Hilarious.
Boston. We just got that guy.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, you're right. I think the big thing with you know, and this speaks again to the addition of Turner. And, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that can help the whole team. Like, I'm going to put this up from Frank. Frank, thanks for the comment. But,
in there,
you know, like, what does Varsho need to be successful at the plate? I mean, it's an interesting thing to say, Frank, because Varsho is a very good hitter. It's not a success at the plate. Like, I don't have the numbers up right now, but I don't think he probably hit all that terribly last year. It's just we were expecting a lot more. Our expectations of Colton Varsho were very high. And Craig, I'm hoping you can pull it up while I tap dance here.
I'm working on it.
Big thing for Dalton Varsho is not a big guy. He's not a tall guy. He's not going to extend his arms and hit balls out of the park on the other side. He's not Aaron Judge. He's a stump. And so what he needs to do is the more balls he can get deep on the plate. So Varsho needs to let the ball travel on the plate and start picking the ball off the back of the plate like Bo Bichette does so well. And again, Justin Turner does this really, he's one of the best in the business. So when you talk about something like Frank, and thank you for that, it's a great comment and it's a great talking piece, especially is a guy like JT, if he can show Bichette, or if these guys can mold their swing of it, just imagine if he's right there sitting with Varsho in spring training and they're like, how do you hit this thing off the back of the plate? It's the hardest thing you can possibly do is let a ball travel and have your hands be fast enough with strength to get to it and drive it somewhere, because you're not going to hit that ball for a home run. Bo Bichette knows that when he's being challenged by a pitcher, the chances of him hitting a home run are much lessened. But he has turned into a very smart, very selective hitter, and he puts that ball into play in a place where people can't get it. I mean, Springer's made his whole career out of it. Springer hits the ball off the back of the dish almost all the time, and the thing that it does to pitchers, and this is what will start to happen to Varsho this year, is if he displays an ability to take that curveball, spinning, any kind of spinning ball off the back of the plate and hit it hard somewhere, pitchers then have to start to pitch into his zone. So I assume Varsho's zone is probably low because he's a smaller guy. So anything you throw to him low,
I wouldn't think that.
But is it high? Is that what it is?
These are honestly, there's some things here that I'm starting to think my theory of his swing might be right. So Frank, maybe I have the answer here, but then again, I am not a Blue Jays hitting coach. So I just drink beer and have a podcast. So, I'm looking at his Baseball Savant page, and what I was kind of curious about was what pitches he hits hard, what he doesn't hit at all. And I always thought watching him at the end of last season, especially, I don't think he's starting his swing early enough. I think he gets to the point where he ends up choking and having to just throw the ball or throw the bat at the ball. And funny enough, other than across the board, he hit pitches shittier last year. It doesn't matter what pitch. They were completely low in his career. I know it's a short career. Yeah. It's not like he's been playing in the majors for a million years. But you look at what his hard percentage contact rating against certain pitches. Last three seasons, he's destroyed off speed. Destroyed. He's made 66% hard contact on slurves, curveballs, splitters over the last three seasons. Meanwhile, you go all the way down the list with his seasons and pitch type, and you get to where the four seamers are. He's only hitting four seamers 30% of the time hard in last and season, where that was down from 50% the year before. So to me, that's
and it's not so interesting because remember Schneider. When Schneider came up, no one had a book on him. So he was hitting everything. And then when they started getting a book on him, what couldn't he hit? Two and four seamers up, you know, above his belt, thrown hard. And then he started to adapt to it. So it's, I really do feel like that Justin Turner is going to be more than just an acquisition that plays baseball. And I mean, I know, you know, we ironically said this about Kevin Kiermaier last year. Yes, 100%. And I don't think the Jays would have traded.
Apparently, I am that good because Frank agrees with me.
There you go, Frank the Tank. You know, it's
so thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
The big thing is, you know, I think that JT starts to change the way that this team looks. You know, whether it's the, you know, my one son is a Dodgers fan. And if you guys watch the Dodgers, they were very similar to the look of the Yankees. They were cleaner cut. There was a couple of guys that, you know, sort of looked like hillbillies, but not really. And then in those years when they just could not miss the World Series, I mean, they didn't win. They only won one, but they started getting more raggedy the entire way through. Like, look at Kyle Seager when he was a Dodger versus now. I mean, he looks like a choir boy, and he looked like he might take your wallet back then. But, you know, I digress.
It's just me. I want my team to look like the 1993 Phillies.
Yeah, or all just look like John Kruk, all of them. Like the whole team of John Kruk. But it's one of those things where if you start to gain that, and you know, we had a lot of comments last year about the jacket going and them wanting to be more serious and all that other. I think that one of the things that we will see happen is I think we'll see more of that fun stuff come back. I think we'll see more of, like, I know that Springer and some other guys are going to have some influence on that. And I think that, you know, it's going to be one of those things where the Jays have to start to establish some sort of an ID with these kids. Like, Bo Bichette is the most soft-spoken, quietest, calmest dude. Like, I saw him at the UFC and he's like, "Go Jays." And you're like, "Oh my God, like, that's your actual voice." Like, I thought,
how are you doing?
Yeah. And so, but maybe that's what they do. Like, maybe they, you know, like Kiermaier is so far out there and Springer's so far out there and Vladdy's out there. I mean, you know,
you need that grounding.
And I think they got to gas. I think they got to gas the translator for Vladdy at this point. Like, I think Vladdy completely understands what's being said to him. So, I mean,
is the reason he has an interpreter.
Yeah. Keep it simple, stupid. But, you know, I think that, you know, I'd like to see the identities of the team split into its groups. Like, I'd love to see the whole pitching core an identity. And so if the starters are these, you know, if they're part of this Manoa Vengeance tour, then they're all in, you know, like when he's pitching, maybe they all wear his number or they all put on a fake beard or, you know, just fun stuff like that. Where
we're missing.
What's that?
There's the pit bull the Blue Jays are missing.
Yeah.
They need somebody that has that. And maybe it's just me. I love the fact that Manoa gets into the game more than any pitcher I have ever seen in Major League Baseball.
Marcus Stroman.
I think that goes to a lot of the dugout culture and having the right culture. To me, I could have a team of horrible players. As long as they click and get things done, the team does well. And you can look at just enough teams over Major League Baseball histories. You can't say that the Angels, the year they won the World Series with Tim Salmon and everybody, that they were the best team in baseball.
Nope. That
was a Cinderella story, and it was all about the rally monkey, the culture around the team had it going, man. So there is something to say that. And to that point there, I think, is in the midst of what you get with Justin Turner a little bit. Somebody that can be diehard serious when you need him to be. But you see the pictures that I was just trying to find a picture to put on tonight's show in our little, you know, thing. And I found so many goofball pictures I wish I could have used first. That would have been more fun than the one I did find.
Well,
but
and I think point,
that, I think it shows to the level that him and George Springer are going to click really well, and then this goes infectiously.
Well, and Kiermaier. I mean, you've got the three sort of elder statement in Kiermaier, Springer, and now JT. I mean, Belt probably played into that a little bit, but as far as I know, he's a bit of a odd duck. And I think that what some of these guys like, I feel like. And all of the talk about Dalton Varsho is that the guy just eats, sleeps, and poops baseball. Like, he's a baseball nerd. He's a baseball nut. Like, it's all that he does. It's all he's ever done. It's all he cares about, the whole thing. And so for him to be sort of in that grouping and to be able to sit down and talk with a guy like Justin Turner and just be like, you know, what was it like to win the World Series? What was it like to hit four home runs in the, you know, in the ALDS? Like, I mean, just all of these things. And, you know, it helps Bo, it helps Vladdy, it helps Biggio, it helps them all. It really helps the guys from Buffalo when they come up because,
oh, 100%. You know,
he's a wealth of knowledge.
So other than the fact that I think we have a new number one fan here from Frank, loving the Phillies comment. I want to point out, funny enough, something from around that time frame here that I think is the thing we talked about that this team was missing over the last couple of years. And you and I talked about a few weeks ago, we were missing that elder statesman guy who was going to take this team over the top. When the Blue Jays won in 1992, that was Dave Winfield. If you look at then and you look at now, Dave Winfield was 40 that year he played for the Blue Jays. And just to throw this stat line out and see if it sounds like anybody else that we were talking about. And I'm amazed that honestly, he won a Silver Slugger for this because, you know, leading into the steroid era, right? 290, 108 RBIs, 26 home runs, 33 doubles. Outside of the batting average and a few extra home runs, that's Justin Turner stats.
Yeah. The Dave Winfield with a red beard would have been quite a look too, with a big bushy red beard. But
oh god, that's like it's clown college right there, my friend.
I know, but it's you know, I think that the big thing is, and it's nice to be able to kick this around for a little bit and just sort of, you know, not have to worry. I mean, bold predictions, we can talk bold predictions anytime up to the very start. Like, I mean, you know, I've probably got a few other, I don't think the Orioles are going to come out of the gate as well as they did last year. I think they're going to see
some
of that sophomore slump. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like there's some teams that are really on the cusp of tearing up baseball, like the Reds, the Pirates. So we may start to see some teams that are non, you know, for the last number of years, traditionally haven't been up there in the standings. I also am going to go out on a limb and say that Ohtani's first month is excellent, and then he really slumps. I feel like he's going to get into a situation where he's just not, he's got a lot on his shoulders, and he's just not able to hit the ball as well as they hope. I don't think that he's in shape. He's in good enough shape to be legging out doubles and triples and stuff where he was before. And I feel like the pitching was keeping him in the best shape he was in, and him not being able to pitch is probably going to hurt him a bit. But
correct. But being able to actually focus on just hitting could be part of that too, right? So,
and you just got
let me throw a major league ones at you, and then we'll talk Blue Jays bold predictions here to wrap up the show, and then I have a stupid thing I want to just pull some old baseball bloopers out of the freaking YouTube reel here and have us talk it out a little bit. So step one, Matt Olson for the Atlanta Braves, 40 home runs. I don't think he hits 50 again.
I mean,
I think he peaked last year.
He was, he was obscene. And who knew? Like, we got halfway through the season and somebody was like, who's this Matt Olson guy? And you're like, oh God, he hit another two. Like, it was
Matt
crazy.
Olson last year was Jose Bautista's 51 home run year, right? He's not going to do that again. Nobody's going to pitch him way he did this year. I will be shocked if he hits 40. I'm thinking 36. Matt Olson, 36 home runs is my prediction. Which, by the way, we offset in a plethora of RBIs. But
yeah, I mean, it's that's it. You know, the Braves are a murderer's row, though. So someone from the Braves is going to make up those pitches that they don't throw to Acuna and that they don't throw to the other murderers on the team. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, so somebody's going to make up those. The Braves are going to be a great team this year. Holy Moses! Anyways, right. Okay, I don't have any from MLB baseball. I got one more that I can pull sort of. I feel like my bold prediction is that the Reds are going to make the playoffs this year.
That's your MLB prediction, huh?
Is that another one?
Honestly, that is a safe bet because you look at their top prospects, they're insane. You know, they're not like the Blue Jays who,
and they've got guys that haven't even scratched a surface.
Sneaks it into the 100, right?
Yeah. They've got guys that haven't even played. They've got three or four guys that they're going to come up this year. I've seen them. They're going to play this year. We're going to be like, where were they hiding all these dudes? Like, it's pretty crazy. And then you look at their farm team has been terrible. Like, how do they have such good guys on their farm team so bad? Anyways.
Yeah, which is the exact opposite of what you get when the San Diego Padres were as good as they were for so long, right? And well, I mean, as far as their minor league teams, they won from like 2018 in the minor leagues with the El Paso Chihuahuas, and were in the championship game for like 5 years because you had Tatis and all these guys coming through, and you would assume that major league team was going to translate to that. But to that point, if I'm the San Diego Padres management, I'm almost in the burn it down itself. And they haven't figured that idea.
Well, that's almost what
I still
doing,
don't
right?
think they know what to do in that management of trade it all or sell it or bring it back or whatever. And I think they're trying to do what the Blue Jays try to do for a short term there, try to reload and compete at the same time. And that's not how this works.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to take Machado.
It's fickle and evil.
No one's going to take Machado, though. I mean, he's a giant anchor around their third base leg. You know, they got rid of Soda, and it looks like they're going to get rid of Snell. Like, I mean, that is, you know, the beginning of wholesale. So, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if they'll burn it down because San Diego has an incredible fan base. Like, big ups to, I've known people that have gone to those games, and game 68, game 128, the place is packed. And I mean, it's beautiful weather and it's a gorgeous stadium. So, I mean, they've got that going for them. But even when they're not playing the fans come out in droves. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if they can even get a few guys there, they can probably challenge again. Yeah. But I mean, it just seems like every time they were set to challenge, something happened. And they didn't have a great team culture as far as I ever saw. You know, it was a lot of machismo and a lot of other stuff like that. And then, you know, Tatis gets nailed with the roids. And from that point on, they were never really the same. So, I mean, you know, do you burn it down? Like, I mean, there's going to be some guys that are coming available in the next 3 years that are team changers. You know, there's guys that are on minor
right
league deals or on short
a lot of
deals.
Young guys for top prospects and have it all just whoosh. That's
all right. What
is my MLB franchise mode suggestion right there for you? So I want to get one Blue Jay prediction out of you. And here is my first Blue Jays prediction. Kevin Gausman actually wins the Cy Young this year.
Ooh, I like that one.
He was number three.
I should pencil.
He wasn't a distant three. So that's my thought. And to that point, like I said, this is the way too early. Oh my God, pick something. You actually ended up being right on one of these in the past year.
Oh, really? What was it?
I can't remember what it was. What was it? You threw something. last year in the same time frame that you ended up being right on. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I talk out of my ass so much, I probably can't, unless we were to go back into the archives.
We're going to have to go to the tape. I'm going to get one of those flags from those commercials. let's go to the tape.
And here's my other bold prediction. Davis Schneider makes the starting lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. As a player, not as a bench player.
To be? Second base? There you go.
as they used to say in the game show world, we'll be back in 2-2. Yeah,
there it is.
That's my bold prediction.
So yeah. There it is. Rather than doing so, is there any other Blue Jay stuff you would like to talk out before I literally have our fun way of ending the show here?
No, let's end it. I mean, if I talk about Soler one more time, I'm going to punch myself in the face.
That doesn't exist until it happens now. So I got to do one thing because I haven't shown you this yet. So this guy is from a gentleman online named Canadian Gamer. This is actually 3D printed. I don't know if you can see it, but it's actually raised up.
It's awesome.
It's plastic. So cool. I told him when I reviewed his stuff, I'd put it on our show today. So Blue Jays fans, if you have any cool garb you would like to, you know, market on our show, feel free to throw it our direction. We'll make sure we share it with the fan base here. So the next thing was now that like Bills have been knocked out of the football thing and, you know, you still got your 49ers, I've been, seeking solace in old baseball highlights and collecting baseball cards again, because like I said, it's just, I needed a real baseball thing. So I ended up been diving through and I forgot about this highlight, but this is right from MLB.com. So nobody do any of your terrible copyright stuff. I'm giving the credit like I'm supposed to do, but have you seen this David Paulson video where he fouls balls into the dugout repeatedly? We're just gonna let this play for a second here and chit chat, but have you ever been in the dugout, Jason, with anything this weird with any of the kids or anything? So for the baseball fan that hasn't seen this, David Hulse just basically keeps attacking the Angels dugout with foul balls. So there was number one, just saw it there. Have you seen this?
Doesn't
one day
he hit like 15 Jason? Or something ridiculous? I have a great dugout story. So when we were in the provincials, the team that's above me that we won the provincials with at 9-10s for Little League for Lynn Valley, we were in the semifinals. And the way that Little League works is you have to hit everybody. If they're on your roster, they have to play six innings of defense and they have to hit. And so we were coming up to a point in this game. We were tied 2-2, and Braden Lawson, who was a real star on our team, big hitter, hit a lot of home runs, and great ball player. His dad James, a great guy, regular listener of the podcast, which is ironic that I was able to talk about this. So Braden is sick like a monkey on the bench, like throwing up. He's not doing well, and he has to hit, and we know he does, and so. We give him as much time as we can give him, and we're like, Braden, you got to go up, buddy. And so he's one of our home runner hitters, and they haven't seen that he's been sitting over there doing that. So we bunted him. He'd had never bunted in any kind of like he'd done it in practice. He bunts, he gets on, we pinch run for him, and he was the winning run, and it was the greatest bunt in Little League that I'd ever seen. It sat and spun like 6 feet away from home plate while he ran down to first. It was amazing. Incredible. So shout out to B Money Lawson.
There it is. So I don't know. So right now, because I paused the video because that was a great story you had there. I didn't want to interrupt it. So at this point in the video, he's hit the ball into that far corner down the third baseline of the Angels dugout 3 times. This is now the cop got already hit. The one bullpen guy or whatever that was hanging out the one end has literally went and grabbed his glove, came back and sat all huddled with his knees and everything, trying to protect himself with a baseball glove. And then the third one came in and the whole team just picks up from that side of the dugout and walks all the way to the other side. So they've literally relocated at this point. and he's not done. It was like one of the most freak things, because the other catch on this too is I don't know how he kept following these pitches off, because the Angels pitcher is throwing the ball inside, outside, all over the place, and there would be number four into the vacant area of the dugout. It's one of the stupidest things, and you can see they're all dying laughing, including David Hulse, who's hitting the damn ball over there. He hits every one in that far corner where you're watching it go in that video. It's obscene. I don't understand how it works, because like I said, it'd be one thing if he was throwing all outside pitches, inside pitches, and then finally grounds out, because he had to have been laughing way too hard at that point. But like I said, I've been it's stumbling onto stupid things like this. And can you imagine sitting in the dugout and witnessing this and just dying laughing is all I could think of. Because first off, you know, you already watched a security guard get bumped.
I think it's reminiscent of, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody get a hot foot or a bubble balloon on their head. I mean, it's the same thing. Like whenever that happens, I'm just like, why is baseball so awesome? That's why, because a guy can blow a bubble and put it on another man's head, and that man can look like an idiot for four innings. And you know, it's just stuff like that. And who was the guy who ran into the fence and then they put the tape around him? It was a Dodger that ran into the fence, and then Mookie Betts and Bellinger taped his body line around the
I think that was the last year Carl Crawford was a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah. So, I mean, it you know,
might have been Carl Crawford.
We could end this show with a blooper like that. I mean, I don't know if there's a sport that has more of them than baseball. The Randy Johnson, it was just the anniversary of the Randy Johnson one. And then did you see, read the thing? And he's probably kidding, but he keeps a box of baseballs by his bed instead of a gun in case somebody breaks into the house. And he actually, that's a quote from him.
100% a quote from him. And it was glorious. A quote from a newspaper back when he was still, like, it was his second or third year with the Mariners at that point. And I think it's funny you bring that up, because I actually found I've been going through my old baseball cards and stuff, and I actually found a moderate level of a grail card the other day. I found one of his first Mariners cards ever the other day, and I was wearing a
pajama shirt.
But then I actually did find a holy grail card. And this one even blew my brain, because I didn't even know I collected any of these. I had one of Derek Jeter's weird Gulf Coast League rookie cards. It almost looks like him. Keyword almost.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm just going to say, from that swing, it might have been a miss.
Chair. What do they say? Sword.
Fishing. No. But I didn't even know I collected whatever classic best. I had no idea I had this, but I stumbled onto a Kenny Lofton Astros rookie card the other day. And then that Mariners Randy Johnson. I have no idea I had him, because these are just the things that get buried in a baseball card box. But it was about that time when he came over to the Mariners that article came out. It was an old newspaper clipping I saw actually on Twitter the other day.
Yeah.
To your point, Randy Johnson doesn't keep a gun next to his bed. He keeps baseballs.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So maybe, all right, brother. If you liked doing that, maybe that's a fun way to end the show, is a baseball culture thing.
Why not?
Well, you could have spun that Randy Johnson thing to the old Geico commercials. Do you ever see that one?
Yeah.
Where it goes, is playing, they're playing, getting in a snowball fight with Randy Johnson, a bad idea. And then they cut to this guy that's like missing a big part of his down comforter jacket, missing. Yeah. Randy Johnson stumble goes over to him and goes, "Hey, are you all right?" Yeah. And he looks over, you think anybody's going to, you know, worry about that? And they cut to where the garage door was, and there's a snowball embedded in it. Yeah. And then they just run away.
So good.
Perfect stuff, but I like that idea. So, but anyway, if there's anything, that's where I'm at. Like I said, I just want to find a fun way to end the show every week. And
yep.
Baseball bloopers don't get much more fun than that.
Nope.
So, all right. Well, on that note, Blue Jays fans, I am Craig Bourne. This has been Jason Lyons with you this evening on Jay Bird Watching. We are here as the Toronto Blue Jays Barroom Chat, as the official podcast of jaysjournal.com, part of Fanside Network. Make sure you join the conversation with us every week. I am so happy that we got so many people feeding through from Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it, Instagram and whatnot this evening. I'm very happy to that point. I'm still working on getting us live on TikTok, but their stupid subscription things are giving us problems. So if you happen to be listening, please go over to Twitter or TikTok and subscribe to us. As soon as I have 100 listeners on there and followers, we are 100% going to be able to be live on that platform as well. Right now, I need 100 followers. We just started.
Yeah.
Friends, join us. We are here. We want to chat. We are literally, the whole motivation here is to talk to Blue Jays fans every week. So please join us and talk. And honestly, to that point, Jason, you and I have talked. We are happy even to have you on the show if you're somebody like Frank that keeps bothering us. Make sure we bring you into the show and we'll get chit chat. And we are live every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, unless we completely tell you different. Yes, I know today's Tuesday, but I had to take a sick day yesterday. I apologize. So we'll be back next Monday, hopefully. And we are only 23 days, Jason, away from spring training. I found that number while we were goofing around. So that close. Until then, make sure you listen to us on live shows and wherever you get your podcasting pleasures from. We are here. We are the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. And typical sign-off time, I think, buddy. One, two, three. Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.